A couple of things. The winners of the talent auction can go and claim their winnings in the Eve store after this event, which is in an hour. And also at 6, the level 5 agent mission will be done in the main lobby at 6 o'clock. Level 5 agent mission. At 7:30, the doors to the party open, and the party has Real X, Roxer, and Kiki Owl playing. All right. So are you ready for the panel, the CCP panel? Yeah. All right, can I get some enthusiasm, please? A bit more, please. Very nice. All right, so on the panel we have 8 extremely intelligent individuals and awesome people.
And then what?
They are from the left to the right. Dr. Eyjólfur Guðmundsson, economist. Ryan Scott Dancy, Chief Marketing Officer. Gabe Mahoney, VP of Engineering. Hilmar Veigar Peterson, Chief Executive Officer. Nathan Richardson, Executive Producer of CCP. Torri Frans Olafsson, Senior Producer of EVE Online. Noah Ward, Lead Game Designer. And last, but certainly not least, Arnar Hrafn Gylfason, Content Director.
Zulu Park.
My name is Alastair Drúnar Ottarsson, and I'm a technical producer. People call me Ali. And to help us out here, we have James Wild as well. He is, I don't know what he is.
Hello, hello. Oh, yes. My title does change from day to day, but
it does.
It's something to do with virtual worlds.
All right, so he's a virtual world operator.
That will do.
All right. Badass. Give it up for James. Come on. So me and James will align us up here at the end of the stage on each side, and we will be the question takers. So you can queue up from here to there and from James and onwards. All right. Are we ready?
Sure.
All right.
If you have a question, come down. I have a microphone.
That was clever.
Oh, we have one. We have an early taker. All right. What's your name, your character name, and what's your question?
I am Paul. I am Glastria in-game. And my question is internships. With CCP on the bleeding edge of computer design and computer stuff in general, with InfiniBand and Stackless.io, we're not even being taught that in school yet. It's so new. Will CCP be doing internships, specifically in these fields, but in general as well?
Yeah, I can answer that one. We
say
are,
hamster.
Huh?
Hamster.
Hamsters.
Hamsters. Hamster training officer.
You need to bring your own hamster. We don't supply them. CCP actually is doing a lot more now with partnering with universities to take in internships. We've been talking with Reykjavik University. We've been talking with MIT as well. And that's something that we're interested in doing. And like you said, dude, this is stuff that they're not really teaching in schools. So people have been pretty excited about that.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so this side. What is your character name and what is your question?
My character name is Vegeta from Omniscient Order, Pandemic Legion. My question has to do with regards to wormholes. And I want to ask, is this Eve's first real touch of instancing? And how will it be structured?
Hamster.
No, they weren't really thought about as instancing. It's more like space that you could eventually
conquer and take hold of. It's just that there's no gates and you have to discover it. And then, you know, plunk down a pos and start taking over the space and then, you know, eventually that kind of thing.
Yeah, so but the main thing is that everybody can join it. It's not like a virtual instance that's only created for a set of players.
Instances are evil.
Yeah. Yeah. Hamster.
Yeah. Yes, right. It's some place and space and time.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, we have another question down this end. What is your character name and what is your question?
Oninaga from Kia. There's been a lot of talk about sovereignty and a lot of uncertainty there. Is there any kind of real update or any kind of decisions that have been made so far?
I guess I can field that one. So there've been a lot of discussions during FanFest in the 00 and future expansion roundtables that have gone on, and yeah, we've got a lot of interesting ideas and places we could go with it. There's no like stuff that's been set in stone exactly what we're going to do with it, but we definitely want to expand on that aspect of the game.
Yeah, I should add also that. That the way that we wanted to go is that we want to have more things contributing towards sovereignty than just star bases. I mean, there's so many aspects which we can add into it. I mean, even hauling can be make something that actually influences sovereignty. So, I mean, we really want to expand what actually affects sovereignty, and we also want to expand outside of just, you know, brutal brute force combat. That wasn't my decision, but... No, it's. I mean, we can involve industry as well as exploration, and also simply building up more infrastructure. So yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. Thank you. All right. So we have grossly overestimated the enthusiasm, and we have made this into just one queue now. So if you come down to this side, then it's good. Thank you. All right. It looks like you're in Veto Corp. So you might as well just start with your character name and your question.
I'm Rias Nia, and I am a heathen bastard, and I use Linux. So, thank you. Not only that, I'm Mimitar, so CVA.
How big is your hamster?
My hamster is very large.
It came in parts, and he had to assemble it himself.
I absolutely did, and I did compile it myself. As a heathen bastard, I just want to make sure that you guys really are giving your support to alternative operating systems. I mean, Windows clearly has some advantages for DirectX 10 and things like that. But not all of us are going to pay the Microsoft tax. So, you know, can you just reiterate what you guys are doing for those of us who really are out there trying to make our own way in other operating systems?
So, I mean, we have a Linux client. We have a Mac client. I can tell you that I personally come from a Unix background. I use a Mac. So there's a lot of us at the office who are pretty enthusiastic about alternative operating systems. And I, you know, I don't know what more we can emphasize, you know, the alternative operating commitment other than saying we got a client that works today, and we're continuing on supporting it. Yeah, I mean, there's obvious difficulties, but it, you know, we're putting the effort into making it work.
Thank you very much. All right, we have another player here. What's your character name and your question?
Miro Sivimist from Aegis Militia, and I have a question about a trading card game. I bought 3 packs of Exile boosters in a store in Iceland, and I had suddenly this odd feeling that these were the last 3 packs on the whole island. So I wondered, are there any plans for the trading card game?
Well, there's actually 7 left, okay? I mean, no, the Exiled expansion was the last one that we have planned, but I mean, it's still out there and it's quite replayable, so let's not rule anything out, but I wouldn't expect it.
Yeah, but also, and maybe Ryan can add to that, the trading card market, we just were a little bit late with our entry into it. That just isn't as vibrant as it was. Ryan actually can speak more of it. And maybe if you clarify that a little bit.
Yeah,
right.
Sure. I think the challenge that CCP faces is that the traditional tabletop hobby gaming market is in free fall. And if we had been in that space 5 years earlier, we'd probably have a very successful, very large CCG business. But it's just not happening because of structural problems that are really beyond our control. I used to work at Five Rings Publishing. I co-designed Legend of the Five Rings, and I worked at Wizards of the Coast for 5 years. So I have a pretty good insight into that marketplace. And what we're doing with the virtual world for CCP is just a much better business opportunity for us than what's happening right now in pen and paper games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can tell you that you will probably see the trading game pop up in game and expand there rather than the other way around.
So it's going to be Eve in stations.
Yeah, you're going to be like a dude playing a game who's playing a game who's playing a dude playing a game.
What do you mean, you people? Sorry, yes. So
the pen and paper game was also still in the queue?
Yeah, we're still going to make the role-playing game for a whole host of reasons, most of which are it's a fantastic way for us to express our IP in a form we can give to people and say, this is what Eve is, and you can read this book and you'll learn what our world is. So it doesn't have to support itself based on selling a lot of copies. It has to support itself on being a really great product.
Thank you. All right. Character and question.
Hi, I'm Crazy from Galinda Militia, and I don't really have a question, but I do have some stuff. And yes, you can have it. First of all, Sulu, thanks for the threat. Seriously, thanks. There's a lot of questions still unanswered. So, here's something to spend your time waiting. For those of you that can't see it, it's a little Rubik's Cube, only 4 fields on each side, not the usual 9.
I'm never going
to
solve this, ever.
So, it should be easy enough for Sulu to do it. But, that's not all. Seeing the World Domination presentation, I think it's a good thing I was prepared, because Sulu is not the only one with too much time on hands. Nathan?
Why are you looking at me? What?
Nathan? Hilmar? And let's see. Well, one more. Put it around the office. But seriously, thanks for the threat.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I just want to say this is really mean, because I'm never, ever, ever going to solve this.
Do you have one with one cube?
This is too complex.
Why don't you go create a thread about it?
Thank you.
All right, so, anything can happen. Okay, character name and question.
Raisha, and I was wondering about, can players ever put something more permanent in the game than just playing it? Because all of this great stuff has happened over the past 5 years, and most of it has already been forgotten by a lot of people. And I was wondering, can players just ultimately add something more to the game than just having played it?
You will look at, Nathan.
Yeah, I mean, but I guess you're talking about in-game, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but stuff like Moo is referenced in like one mission, but all of the rest of that stuff is almost all forgotten by people, like Cursed Alliance and Fountain Alliance and Coalition for Free Stars and stuff like that.
Cursed Alliance were pussies.
No.
So, the thing about Evilopedia is that it's going to be available in-game as well as out-of-game, okay? You'll have the whole universe there, and you will be able to append this kind of data to it. It would simply be contested information, and it's writing down the story, and that's available in-game, of course. But I'd rather see more...
So you can talk and do it at the same time?
I'd rather see more ways to affect the universe in such a way that, for example, right now we have to manually place a Titan wreck where the Titan went down, and I think there's a lot of ways where you can affect the universe, which we can implement, which allows you to leave a mark. But it's really difficult for us to really write the history for you. That doesn't really work.
That's because you should do it after effect, because so to keep something that happened in the minds of the players.
History is written by the victors.
That's true.
But, I mean,
do you have
already,
yeah.
Already, like you spoke of Curse Alliance and like those old boards from maybe way back in the beginning, I mean, we still know of them. I mean, I do presentations and talk about Eve. I often take, like, those old stories and explain the game through that. And I think you will see more and more where this will just become a part of the legacy, and you will see these names, these events pop out in like role-playing books, into our novels, into our future products. I mean, you really are writing the history of Eve, and you will see as more times passes, because current history is always a little bit contested by the winners and the losers, but because while it's longer in the past, you can speak of it, and it's more sort of settled into the minds of players. So I think you will see more and more of the play backstory seep through the IP all over.
Yeah, and we are more janitors than anything else, so it's not really cool that a janitor is writing the world history. He sees it from a different perspective.
Okay, character name and question.
My name is Anzi Dinarius from ASGS, and since I was a PvP pilot once, but my corp has crammed me into being a miner, I have some interest in that area. At the moment, there's kind of a lot of mineral influx coming from the drone regions and from mission runners reprocessing their loot. Is there some plans to fix this, sort of, so that miners can actually do something for the game?
Well, AO has actually been monitoring these influxes lately.
Yes, we have been looking at data in this regard, and it really becomes one of these balancing issues. We are not seeing the influx of minerals through mission loot, as an example, to be a real big problem, but they are most certainly a big part of it. There's no doubt about it. So we have to think about other ways of making mining a good thing, and it must be easy. It's just one line of code, right, Noah?
Yes.
Yeah. We also more money and raise taxes.
Yes.
And don't forget the orca.
Yes, orca. Of course.
But we hope with planetary rings that we actually want to revisit the entire mining mechanic, just like Nathan went into. But we can't commit to exact date for planetary rings. But as we envision, we want to have veins of minerals laying in planetary rings, so you don't have to really go to an individual rock and mine it and mine the next rock. And it's going to
gold nuggets as well as not gold nuggets.
And
hamsters.
Evil people.
Oh yeah, hamsters. And beer. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, firstly, thank you for a great game I've been played and enjoyed for 4 years. And my general question is, the game ever expanding, more ships, more industry, more wormholes, more places to go, more sovereign spaces to conquer, is there any change or scope or any ideas to slowly diminish the universe in some way?
To
go smaller, you could have a reef outdate and that ship no longer exists, and there could be some kind of historical thing, because over time you could slowly diminish parts of the universe.
Yeah, I can see planet busting.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Sorry. Well, No, you go ahead.
No, we sometimes ban users to try to limit it. No, but with planetary, when we introduce the planetary interactions, we want you to be able to take a planet and terraform it and build industry and put people in it and make it a beautiful and prosperous planet, and then bomb the hell out of it and totally destroy it. So that will allow you at least one option of like taking something from the game and then chucking it out the window. But I don't see why we'd want to have less systems or less ships.
Not so much less systems, but less items, less modules, have various things built, maybe diminish over time and then suddenly no longer be just to kind of create.
I don't think so. There's a lot of effort invested, like from our side, in creating all of these, and of course also, when you start taking items out of the game, you're actually ruining the value chains of the players that are actually in this part of the business. So, I mean, you'd be taking, like, 30 manufacturers out.
Yeah, but what you're maybe worried about is that the horizontal complexity of Eve grows, over time.
Horizontal complexity.
Yes. And I would say the solution to that is what you're doing with certificates, where we have taken something which is horizontally vast, and we basically vertically integrated it. So you take a path, which is that certification.
We get this all the time.
Yeah. So you have a goal of getting that certificate, and I think once we have like developed those path through the horizontal field of complexity, with that modules and things like that will follow on. So you've got the certificate that will lead you on to what modules to fit and what chips to do, and for your individual play style, you will have a recommendation of what certification you need to have and what modules that will lead to. This will be your path to, like, scope the complexity for somebody starting the game or currently playing it. And I know it myself. I mean, if I were to start playing it from scratch now, it would take me a lot of catching up on all the things that have changed since I did it like a proper person last time.
And we have, like, thousands and thousands of items. So, I mean, there is deep complexity, but that's also part of the appeal. So I'm not so sure that we want to approach the problem, if it really is a problem, by removing stuff. So.
Yeah, it's more structuring and presenting it in a better fashion.
Absolutely.
Would that be like a confluence of synergies?
Oh. And don't forget the players have the absolute power here, because if you don't like an item, you can just stop producing it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Another question.
He's the clever guy, the doctor there.
Character name, corporation, and your question, sir.
Jinx Denton from Retail. And my question is, with Emoline going retail and boxed, are you going to do anything to make LowSec more profitable so we pirates have more targets to blow up and run through?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, like David Gardner said, like, all those box players, let's check if there are, like, let's be friends before they kill them all. How about that? If they're not the type of people we want, then we'll kill them.
Yeah. Is this the time to tell them about our hug a noob?
Hug a noob, yes. Adopt a noob.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think somebody said, like, yeah, shoot first, then talk, then shoot again.
Yeah. Then hug.
It's called ransoming.
No, I mean, really, yes, surely low security can expand, and we have a lot of ideas about how we can expand low security. But at the same time that we have more people coming in, we want to give players really the tools to really be part of LowSec and really police it, even to the point that it's beneficial for you to actually be kind of like a viceroy for the empire. So I think that, of course, we can add a lot of things to encourage people to go through your gate camp. But at the same time, we think that we have to maintain balance and also provide tools on the other side of the part. So you don't have to, you know, you'll have a challenge. You can't just sit there and prey on innocent noobs. That's not what a real man does.
I'd like to thank you for that answer. And note for the record that Vita does not get camp.
No, okay.
Sure. But since you asked about the retail initiative, I want to emphasize that expansions are going to be included in the subscription for on. You won't have to buy the box. I mean, nothing will change for the normal.
We've always believed very strongly that expansions are part of what you pay with your subscription. Yeah. People that don't do that, they are thinking differently than we are. I almost dig my own grave there.
The character I play is Polish Hotch for the Help My Mission channel. The question I've got for you, do you have any plans for bringing in salvage drones?
Salvage drones? That was a technical thing that actually prevented that from happening. Has it been looked into again?
I'm not sure.
I couldn't answer that.
Yeah, I mean, originally there were plans, and we actually had some salvage drone-like prototypes.
Yeah, but
could be a very good thing to actually have in for the actual Care Bears among us.
Yeah, but you have the salvager. I mean, what's the real reason for wanting the salvaging drone? Just
we can then become like super salvagers, really.
Okay, that makes sense. I'll buy that. And we'll see if it can work. If I remember correctly, it's because of the actual drop that you get from salvaging. It doesn't really fit into the mining cycle. It's different size, so which means that when you actually were salvaging with a drone, and it couldn't actually loot up the actual salvage stuff, it will just disappear. And I don't think you want that. But yeah, sure, we can look into that.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yes?
You do have time till Tuesday to get it sorted, don't you?
Sorry?
You do have time till Tuesday to get it sorted, is the question.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, we're going to be drunk.
Gonna be.
Yeah, what the fuck?
I'm Tyrax Thork, Guiding Hand Social Club. Yes, I'm still alive. Thank you for your concern.
Yeah. Good to see you back.
And I wanted to ask about the Alliance tournament. There have been multiple threads asking about it, and you guys have completely ignored it. It's been like, what, 9 months since the last one? They're supposed to be every 6 months. So what's going on there?
So, we talked about yesterday and today. I remember, get these mixed up very often, but empowerment is something that we want to give to people, and we want to give you mechanics to do stuff rather than spoon feed you like stuff.
Oh, those spoon feeding. Yes, cool.
Yes. In light of that, we want to do what we call arenas, or we probably won't call them arenas, but we will create a mechanism, and that's actually a part of the summer expansion, for you to do PvP combat, consensual, keep PvP combat probably simulated, and keep rosters of it.
No.
Okay. Wait for it. You wait until you see the actual designs. Yeah. But it's not going to kill anything in the game. It's going to be pre-nerfed to hell and really crippled to begin with.
And the consensual part is that you go to an arena and you meet somebody, you're match-picked. Mm-hmm. And you do a 2v2 or 4v4, and you bet on it. And then you have people looking and seeing you die. Mm-hmm. That's what the Alliance tournament is, and that's what the arenas are about. Betting mm-hmm. and killing, and seeing killing and betting on more.
And you have a chance
I can
to
speak
try
a little bit to what happened.
That you wouldn't afford or don't have.
Yeah.
I can speak a little bit to what has happened since the last Alliance tournament. We did a pretty in-detailed analysis of the fifth Alliance tournament and what the demand load was on CCP. And what has happened over time is that the complexity of the fittings and the complexity of the player activities has reached the point that we had to have a fairly large dedicated GM team watching the tournament constantly to stop the potential for cheating. And that's an overhead cost the company has, which isn't really in anybody's budget. And then on top of that, we had to have the staff for ETV in Iceland for 2 weeks. And we had a lot of other overhead costs associated with doing the broadcast itself. So when all was said and done, the total budget for the whole project was a five-digit number, and the significant digit was very large. So we had to decide whether it made sense to the company to spend that much money on the tournament versus the kind of return we were getting in terms of publicity, people's enjoyment of it, how many people were participating, how many people were looking at the downloads. And out of that whole process, what we decided to do is have a small team formed to see if they can develop a proposal for what we would call a lightweight Alliance tournament, something that we can run safely without breaking any of the boundaries of the tournament rules themselves, but without requiring this giant overhead in cost and manpower that the last Alliance tournament did. So we like the concept of Alliance tournaments, and we like the concept of organized play in EVE, and we want to support that, but we have to figure out a way to do it so that it makes sense.
Yeah, but also what Tori was talking about, building better tools which allow people to do it themselves also helps us as CCP to do it in a more effective way, because this was a lot of like manual labor involved in setting up all the things because there were so little tools to assist, and it was a lot of people working very hard, and the return, when we looked at it as a whole, we should have spent all that energy into something that was maybe delivered to more people. But we can continue to do this with better tools and more focused efforts, because the Alliance tournament, they sort of one-upped each other, and it was turning into this orgy that the last one was.
I missed that. Wait, orgy?
Nathan was drunk first. He doesn't... Oh, so, I mean, there's also a big push within CCP to do more of them. We just have to figure out a way to do them more structured and more focused and more scoped.
Yeah. So there's no ETA or anything?
No.
Another one.
Sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Vendran from Stimulus. I actually had two questions. The first was, the EVE novel, was it successful enough that we will be seeing another one in the future?
Yeah, we had problems even securing for our staff.
Right. Yeah.
And then the second question is, are we going to have, like, perpetual faction warfare now? I mean, are we ever going to see an end in the war for the storyline, like, in a few years down the road? And if so, do you guys already know who's going to be winning factional warfare?
Well, number one, since you have two questions, I'm going to have two answers. I like you, because last year I had this sentence of, like, why can't we all be friends? And I'd like factional warfare to end if we can all be friends. But that's not going to happen. What happens, who wins Factional Warfare, how it will evolve. It's going to evolve as a mechanic in game, and there's always going to be mercenaries. I don't think that's ever going to change. The nature of the work might change, of course. Have we decided who was going to rule the universe besides me? Maybe. But you'd have to take me out of the loop first, so we can do this outside. But no, really, there's no answer to that. We would ever give you up. You'd have to actually see it again.
But Nathan, you remember the question from last FanFest?
Yeah, I know.
What's happening?
I'm getting old.
Sober.
Yeah.
He's getting sober.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Socrates. I'm with the Scottish Lads in Rionic Alba in Triumvirate. Until recently, I was flying one of the hammer-shaped beauties on the screen behind you, and I was wondering if you had anything in store for Motherships and Titans in the future.
Well, we have a ton of good ideas, but nothing we want to divulge right now. Our key focus is on the Tech 3 ships, and they will be smaller than that to begin with, because they would just be too awesome if they'd be like Motherships and Titans. And
yeah,
Tech 3 able to...
Motherships, that's a motherfucker. Yes. Oh, Motherships, sorry.
And you'd never afford them. But not for the next expansions, no. But in the future, yes.
All right, thank you.
I think we'd even rather just expand on the game mechanics around capital ships, like you saw earlier. It's like we thought about subsystems. But at the same time, I mean, I think there's a lot of room for improvement just with the ships that we have right today. And even just expanding the class itself, because I mean, there aren't that many ships in the classes, so...
All right, and before I got to FanFest, my CEO asked me to do something incredibly stupid or incredibly genius. So I'm going to ask everyone in the audience here to send him, when you get home, send him an email telling him that he's awesome. The character name is Dan McKay, D-A-N-M-C-K. He's the CEO of my corp.
And on that note, there are currently about 2,000 people that are listening on this panel on eVoice. So this can happen immediately.
You've got mail.
Although I'd say, since you're using the airtime here, is that I'd emphasize more that sending him the email is the point. What the contents of it could more emphasize his personality. Yeah. No.
Well, he's going to get a lot of email, that's for sure.
Yeah, hello. I'm Craziness from Crew of Raider. We're an Icelandic corp, and we are terrorists. Thank you. First of all, I would like to thank you guys for the most awesome game I've ever played, ever. Thank you.
What a coincidence. Mine too.
Yeah. But I only have a simple question. We are in an alliance called Coalition of Care Bear Killers. And we had a tick name that was Cock. And we got nerfed. And behalf of my alliance, we would like our ticker back. Is that possible?
You'd like your cock back.
Yeah!
They want cock.
Well, you know, when you say it like that, you would like your ticker back. I mean, I'm a man. I could help a man out with getting his ticker back. I understand
now they're
doing. Yeah.
They're only half-cocked right now.
Yeah, they're half-cocked. So what did we change it to? Do you know that?
If I remember, it was something like E187 or something like that. But we have to change it to CCK. But I don't know how offensive it is, but we could have some kind of understanding. But we would like our cock back.
Yeah.
A man without a cock is nothing.
How about...
Sheep? Like the Directorate of Industrial Care Bear Killers.
Yeah. No, your
request has been heard. We will take it under consideration.
Thank you very much. And can I have a prop for Eve, guys? Thank you.
Yeah. I'm NT Rabbit, the Guiding Hand Social Club, and I didn't spend last night drying out in a cell.
Did you say NT Rabbit?
Yeah, that's me.
Nice to meet you, family.
Yeah, you too. I had a question about theft and intelligence. Theft and intelligence...
They don't usually match and go together.
We'll see. They've been a pretty important part of the game in the past, but increasingly theft relies on the sheer stupidity of the target rather than the sophistication of the plan. And intelligence relies more on external forum access than any anything in-game. I was wondering if anybody had considered anything further in that area.
About intelligence and theft?
Yeah.
Well,
intelligence and Eve, you say?
Is there anything specific you're thinking about? Like, you know, are you looking for more formal gameplay ways to actually do kind of...
More formal gameplay, more tools. The security has picked up significantly since we started.
Nothing. I think that Titan was killed last week due to a lapse in security. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, imagine that.
That's a pretty big blow.
Yeah, that works for me. Works for you?
Well, we stole a Wyvern last week.
But what you're basically asking is for more tools to have theft. I say just become smarter. Find new ways.
Also,
what's already there, the intelligence should be in you.
Yeah. And right. I'd even say that, you know, if you're starting to rely on the stupidity of your opponent, people don't get better at chess by playing bad opponents. They get better at chess by playing good opponents.
All right, then. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Yava Crow from Forsaken Companions, and I had a question about EVE RPG, mostly about is it going to be linked to ambulation in any way? I mean, like walking into a station and actually meeting NPCs from the books or anything on that department?
Oh, you mean in terms of the world?
Content-wise?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it goes both ways. To what extent? I'm not sure, but it's... A lot of the teams that are working on, for example, all the missions and backstory are tightly connected. I mean, it's basically the same team. So I'd expect to see that just naturally happening. Mm-hmm. But I'd also say that I wouldn't be surprised because, I mean, we have eVoice inside walking stations, and you just sit in a bar and you'd have people simply role-playing, the eVe role-playing game. So it's
Even
a dude doing a dude in an eVe station, doing the game, in the game, about the game,
playing the EVE card game.
Yes. Awesome.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yes, hello. I am Prof. Einstein from Grettistak, Icelandic Corp. I've been playing this game for a long time, and ever since I started playing, I've been thinking about how space is and how it's made up. And the question
try
is
going into quantum theory. That's
maybe too complicated. But my question is to the composition of space: is it going to shift from are the factions going to expand into low sec, making them high sec, and are therefore going to be more low sec appear outside of that area where more low sec areas have become high sec, or is nothing going on in that way? That the factions are going to expand, because ultimately that's what they want to do, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the world changing is like one of the kind of the big themes that we've been talking about in the future expansion in 00 panels that I was on, or roundtables during the week. And it seems like something that people really want to do, and it's kind of a theme that comes up a lot is, you know, will we be able to change the security of our system? Will the empires move around? So people really do want to affect the world, and so, yeah, that's definitely a direction we want to go in.
Thank you.
Sir?
More answers.
I was just going to add to that is that, again, we'd rather develop tools for players to expand rather than expanding the empires.
But players are never going to change space in that way by making it secure, because that's always
no.
Be
actually, you can that. That's
conquer.
Just not, no. I, for example, with the Weisberg concept that I mentioned earlier, that concept is basically taking an alliance or a corporation, and they become the Weisberg for that empire there, and that's how they can expand, and that's how they can leave their mark on the universe. That would not be driven by us. That would still be driven by players. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Cool.
I'm Jarrell, one from Ethereal Dawn, and my question is, basically, as you know, the newer characters start with about 900,000 skill points. Now, when I started playing the game, I saw with 16,000 skill points, and as you know, the newer characters have attributes that are much higher than the new players, and they seem to be overtaking the older players, if you know what I mean. Now, I was wondering, is there any way you're going to compensate us older players by giving us a little bit higher attributes, just so the newer players don't overtake us completely?
Well, you sound like my grandmother. She says, like, when I grew up, things were tough. You guys have it so easy now.
Yeah.
Like, this is almost the definition of things that last for a long time. I mean, Noah has a point.
Well, they don't necessarily have more attributes that the newer, like, are you talking about the new bloodlines?
More skill points.
In a way, yeah, because I've been ult.
You might
be
able to put more perception on, but then you would have lower in something else, and so maybe you could, like, catch up quicker. But they don't have more.
I think he's saying he can catch up in certain areas faster, and then at the same time you're sacrificing, like, let's say you can catch up in spaceship command fast, but at the same time you're like sacrificing electronics or anything.
No, the thing is that the skill system inherently has two things in it. It has diminishing returns, and it has a thing that over time you get more varied. I mean, you can spend the time on the last 5%, but you'd rather go into, you know, more professions and really get into that. So I think that the advantage that you have is that you're much more versatile, and as a result, even though he's catching up in you in flying a scepter or something like that, you still have the advantage. You can do much more.
There's also another thing that we're looking at right now.
Nice ringtone.
There are decisions that you take when you create your character. Then we found this out, like with the new player experience, decisions that you're taking when you don't realize what impact they're going to have, like what is charisma for, and what do the attributes actually do.
That means you're obnoxious.
Yeah.
Like
so we really want to allow people to respec, but it would be a kind of a big change to the game, and we want to approach it carefully. But taking an existing character and kind of changing these decisions, undergoing some sort of brain surgery process, evilness, to allow you to simply distribute the points again. Would that be something you'd be interested in?
Yeah, I would actually.
No.
How about anyone else? No? Yes? Yes?
Cheers.
Since we're feature creeping, there's also one thing that I really want to ask this crowd about. Hilmar posted several years ago. Or somebody. But I really always wanted it. And this idea came up the other day. It's totally, I haven't even gone to the programmers with it. I want to be able to scoop up a pod, willingly or unwillingly. So let's say somebody gets blown up. I just want a show of hands here. Somebody gets blown up. Me and Ethan are flying together. He gets blown up. Oh, it's so dangerous. Let me pick you up, my friend. And I pick him up, and he thinks I'm just going to fly him to station. See, yeah? I demonstrate this. Fly him to station and drop him off there safely. But wait, we're not going towards the station. Where are you taking me? And here comes the punchline, and then I make a... It's just...
Like
hostage taking and rescuing.
Yeah.
Anybody interested? Yes?
Yeah!
Okay, but
let's show of hand. Who likes to be stuck in a cargo hold for a week?
Well, like people say, you know, it depends on who you're stuck with.
No, you'd always have the option of suicide. You could just
bite the cyanide.
Can I also if I get captured into the Skoghold, if I just self-destruct my pod, will I take the ship with me?
No.
And the bastard that took me with
Well, that would actually be nice.
That would be
awesome.
Yeah.
See? We even, not only were we feature creeping, but we actually make to balance the feature as well.
Yeah. We should do this more often.
Yeah. Wait. No, just kidding. Next.
Hi, I'm Kid Rob from Celestial Apocalypse, Resurgency Alliance. First, many thanks for making this awesome game and the community for sharing this game since a long time now.
Thank you for coming.
I saw the presentation that you will add at the Walking Station, those small, mini, fun games. Mm-hmm. So could you add World of Warcraft, please?
I think that any reply to this question is going to get us in deep shit.
Yeah. We thought about it, but... we wanted to have like
so let me reiterate
and tactical games where you had to really think about the
no. Ryan is looking at you. I think he's gonna jump over the table
and Valerie's really
it's a great game. we have
I'm just gonna cut you off now. Next question. What's your character name and your question?
Hi, I'm Deathheart from Atlas Alliance. There's nothing worse than moving a big ship. It's too big to fit in a carrier, so you have to repackage it. Is there any plans for a proper ship that will be able to move a lot of large ships that are rigged?
That's another thing, actually, we talked about during the roundtables, is they people want just a ship mover ship that does nothing much. It doesn't have a huge cargo hold, but it has a maintenance bay that can fit a lot of ships.
So let me guess, it's a ship mover.
Yeah, rigged ships that move. And, yeah, it seems like something people want.
Moving a ship.
But here it is. This is the third time that Noah talks about the what happens at the roundtables. Like, it really shows that, I mean, this kind of input really helps mold the game. I just want to highlight that.
He didn't say he was listening.
Well, he remembers. Yeah, like, you remember a question from last year's FanFest.
Yeah, I even remember questions from the first roundtables at the first FanFest. Then I got drunk. it really is. And the thing is that it's not just the attending of the roundtable and just going in. It's more that, you know, like every good idea starts from a bad idea. The Death Star was once pink, you know. But ended up being like, you know, from going from Nasty Star over to Death Star. It's gray and it's awesome. And it's really that when you have this powwow, you're talking together and going back and forth, it really sparks something in everybody that is attending. And then it's kind of like makes beautiful things happen. Sounds corny. Sorry. Next.
Thank you.
Hi, Stitcher of Duty. First, I'd like to apologize for the nasty things my country's been saying about your country. Secondly, you're talking about...
Apology, yes, sir.
You've been talking about putting Eve in a box. Are we ever going to see Eve on the box with, like, TV primetime trailer adverts?
Oh, that box.
Yeah, we'd love to do that. It's a fairly significant topic amongst the executives as to how we could develop a mass media strategy for Eve. I would love to see an Eve TV show. I think Eve has everything necessary to make a great TV show. If you've seen the Clear Skies video, that's a great example of what could be done.
Congratulations, by the way. Awesome.
I'll just throw out my caution, which I always have to say when I talk about Clear Skies, which is Clear Skies makes a lot of assumptions about Eve that we haven't really 100% decided are true or not. Like, do Eve ships have crews?
Do they all look like Half-Life 2 characters?
So, yes, I think a mass media strategy would be great. If you're asking about commercials, I think we were pretty pleased with the way the commercials ran last year. They were repurposing the trailers and the teaser videos, and if we do TV ads in the future, we'll custom make TV ads for that purpose. We won't just repurpose a trailer. But we got enough of a positive signal off of the repurposed trailers that we think TV is probably a viable long-term advertising option. Maybe we'll get Mr. T.
I mean, the thing is that when you have an ad for example, on Adult Swim, is that you prefer to be something funny, more like Clear Skies rather than, you know, our epic big bada boom trailers, more like catering to the audience that we're showing it. But of course, I mean, since we're in personal opinion of we would like to see Eve go in terms of mass media. Personally, I'd like to see the miniseries rather than a movie, a full featured movie. I think that's more a medium which can really deliver what Eve is about. It's long-term. It's lots of history. It's not going to be told in 1.5 hours. Probably sometime we'll have Vin Diesel doing it, but still. we'd love to. But we also have to remember that, like Hilmar was covering just earlier, is that we have limited bandwidth, and we have to focus on what's most important and then grab the other opportunities when we have time to actually look into it.
And also, as you saw from Torbjörn's excellent presentation on working in stations, I mean, the lines are blurring so much between what is a computer game and what is a CG movie. I think once we've, like, released working in stations, we have fleshed out the IP more, we have more sophisticated tools to do something like Clear Skies, we will see user-created content, and I think we will see this as an industry as a whole. This machinima movement is going to get more and more mainstream. So if you want a Eve TV miniseries, I mean, in 2010, you mostly have the tools to do it.
And we should remember that the both of you just were walking the station just earlier. I'm not so sure that we are a good subject to actually cover in a Eve miniseries that happens in stations. Well, maybe.
Yeah, no. But I would like to add that we know this with working stations, and we're putting in tools to help people with doing machinima, something into it.
Hi, I'm Ellison, and I'm a jump planner.
And I was wondering if in the true exploration you would actually be able to get a capital ship through the wormhole, or that you can actually sino it in.
Yeah, that's intended. It might be. It might depend on which area of space it is, but
and yeah, when.
Yeah, in time. yeah. I mean, definitely. I want big alliances to be able to claim areas of this new kind of W space, as the team started calling it.
And if you...
Yes! Jump ladder. This is your third FanFest here, yes?
Fifth. This is my fifth FanFest.
Oh, man. Awesome.
Cool.
And it's been great again. And it's not even over yet.
But now we know how far my memory goes. 3 FanFests.
Yeah. I think that's a lot longer than people think. Just a quick thing to let you know, we've got about 10 minutes left in this session, so I can see Varun standing at the back of the line there, so he's the last one to ask a question, I think. So on with the show. Your character name and your question.
DNS Black from the DirtNav Squad. I went to the Walking in Stations presentations, and I had asked this question before, and as a PvP or hunter-killer, the corpse... The dead bodies that we tend to collect as our trophies, will there be an opportunity to cut off their heads and mount them to plaques and put them in our bars? Otherwise, as PvPers, we really have no interest in a bar except to display our trophies.
Yeah, yeah.
So will there be an opportunity to do that?
I don't know if the exact procedure that you just described will be available to players.
But it would open the opportunity for a medical taxidermy trade that we could then, we can remove the implants from their heads and then redistribute them. The market is unbelievable.
I'm never coming to your bar.
Yeah, or you could just get help. No, but really, we have a model of a frozen corpse display. We had it, like, I don't know why we didn't even spawn it. We have a model of the frozen corpse display right now, so you can actually adorn your captain's quarters or your bars with somebody else's corpse.
I just want their head.
But it's severed and not like with the procedure that you so much like.
Hello, I'm Recon One from the Black Isle. I have a question about the corporation button. Are you going to restore some functionality or implement some more functionality in those buttons? Currently, a junior accountant is pretty worthless, and there's some other buttons that don't appear to do much, and as far as assigning roles and stuff, gets very complex at times.
Yeah, we're very interested in having good buttons. Vertical and horizontal.
And now for like a useful answer?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're looking at the UI a lot these days, and there's actually a team dedicated to improving the UI, and it's important to us because we know that some of the stuff is fiddly, like you mentioned, and so, yeah, I can't say that it's coming in 4 months in the exploration stuff, but we're slowly going over the entire UI and improving it.
I can also add that the EVE UI is more complex than most of the games, and I mean, we have a lot of people asking, like, can't we customize it, can't we, like, script it, and so on and so forth. I think that there's a lot of improvements that we can do so that becomes not necessary. And number two, we don't want to start an arms race of having the best UI mod. It's like, that's the guy that's going to win. And then he actually has a win button, actually, there. Like, everything works.
Thank you.
But, damn it.
Hi, I'm Taijin, CEO of the Echelon Corporation, or executor of the Echo. My question is regarding the market. With ambulation coming in the future and the market being a bit mixed up as it is regarding the difference in sorting between the blueprints and the actual items on market, will there be a layered market where it's inside station stuff is separate or just so it can be sorted separately to the in-space market, or is it going to be just one massive list where you have to keep sorting through all the time?
That's more of a UI issue, yeah. Game design issue. Personally, I feel that we should just put the walking station stuff into the actual market, and you just use that same UI. But in regards to whether that UI is the best implementation of a market UI available, probably not. And it's going to undergo revision, especially when more items get added to it, more types and categories with walking stations. Yeah.
The good thing, of course, is that there's a lot of bankers available these days.
Yeah.
Maybe they can help. Maybe not. Probably not. since they're available?
Yeah. I would say in short that you would get in towards customization and also with Tech 3, so you would probably not see it in the same as the what we can call today the commodity market. The commodity market that has all the homogeneous spaceships or ammunition that you are using is really efficient, and it's really good at distributing information and products around the world. And we really would have to have another system to deal with what you asked for.
Economists really like it when markets are efficient.
Exactly. But not too much, though. Not too much. Because then we wouldn't have anything to do.
Hello, I'm Laffy from the Movement, and I'm wondering if there will be a pod scanner so you can see if the enemies that you have catched, if they have implants, so you can determine the ransom based on that.
You mean after? They want to hear about enhancements to the feature that you haven't designed.
You have to ship the pods out, you take the pod, and you want to ransom him. You want to be able to see if he has a snake or another implant.
So, like, you have a ship scanner, you have a pod scanner.
Yeah, exactly.
So you feature creeping on the feature creep.
Yeah. So
exactly.
Okay. So well, how about this? If you put him into the hangar, you can check him there. Would you be okay?
Yeah, then you can scan him, see how big his head is.
Yes.
See whether it fits into your...
Waterboard him.
Yeah, but still,
that's absolutely what I was thinking about.
Wow. So easy to make computer games now. Yeah. But I was young.
Yeah. Well, it Rick Lever still. You know, I got one side blue.
The rest is fucked up.
I think blue is the easy side, because I got that one too, but no.
You did? Yeah. I think you're actually cheating. You can't solve this. No, you can't.
Next question. Next question.
Not that the Sulu pack
gets close to it. But I like that pod scanner idea. I think it's good. Mm-hmm. No one's mentioned
it. We can just allow the ship scanner to actually do that, so. I mean.
Hello, my name is Brutal Bruno. Fortunately, I'm playing for a dying corp called Ironbreakers. My question is, well, on forums you most likely brushed off skill queuing. What about level queuing?
Sorry, say it again.
Level queuing.
Level queuing. You know, you can start a skill, train it to level 1, but queue it to level maybe 3 or 4.
Yeah, because we don't have levels. We're like, dying corp, levels. 7, no, wait. No, absolutely. The thing is that... we've gone through a couple of versions of how we want to do it. One is having a primary and secondary skill in training, so you put one that takes a month, and then you actually do it 50-50, and you take the small skills in between. We've had skill queue that goes one deep, more deep. We've thought about it hooking into the certificates, so that you actually just say that I want to achieve this certificate, and that's actually really how it goes through. And I think that's probably kind of the nicest way, because... If the certificate is like a goal-setting mechanism, tying it into that is going to make sense. But I think that the level... Can we call it something else than the level?
You mean skill level? Like,
you can start at level 1 and just keep training until it gets level 5.
And I think that that's actually the one that actually most people agree to. Yep.
But that certification idea, that's good.
Yeah, the marketing team likes the certificate idea.
Yeah. But as far as the skill queue itself, and however it's implemented, I think really it boils down to we need to figure out what is the goal that we're trying to solve. And it's not that you can just queue up 3 months of skills and never play EVE again. It's for these situations where you're not even able to log in and train. You know, it's like 4 in the morning or you're going on vacation. And so it's the difference, and there's a balance to kind of get there.
Yeah.
You know, between how long can this queue actually last and you know, how is it going to solve the actual goal of solving the problem?
I mean, let's be blunt. We want you to log in once in a while. Mm-hmm.
But there are justifiable situations, like there's been discussion. Soldiers that are going for deployments are really frustrated that they can't, queue up their skills because they're going to be back in months.
As you hear, we've thought about it.
What about a mini-game that boosts your learning or something?
Sorry?
A mini-game in-game. Boost your learning for a short period of time.
So you mean like using boosters that actually accelerates your skill training?
No, he's asking about a mini game.
A mini game, like in the bar.
You can solve this damn thing. You get faster.
Rubik's Cube in stations.
No, we hear you. I mean, as you see, there's a lot of options on the table, but ultimately, like Noah is saying, what are we trying to solve? Yeah. Are we just trying to solve something for people that are not going to log in ever? We need to figure out. Currently, I think skill training is something that drives people into the game. They meet up with their friends again, and they end up playing. So they stick with the game. I remember when I was playing in a player co-op many years ago, going online and training. That was the only thing I planned to do, but I ended up on an adventure, and it was all amazing. I don't think we should nerf that. I
wish my searchlight was like that.
Thank you.
Did I say that out loud?
No. Yeah, the mute button you push this for that here to mute it, actually.
You have to have more people than one.
Like a Second Life experience.
Obviously getting late
I
in the
I thought you liked it. Like yes.
Moving on.
Hey, guys. Varun from VitoCorp. Thanks. I've got a couple of questions. The first one is, we've seen the introduction of factional warfare for the four major races. I like to do a spot of pirating now and again, and I was wondering if you have any form of implementation for the pirate factions, such as the Garistas, the Serpentis Corporation, and how you guys will be implementing those into factional warfare.
Yeah, we discussed this actually in the, whatever that was, Delivering Empyrean Age panel. So like you said in the panel, that mechanically it is entirely possible to bring the pirate factions into factional warfare. It just kind of depends on, you know, if we feel it fits with the storyline, and if we feel that you know, the players really want it, and it seems like it's a theme that constantly comes up. People want to align with Serpentis or whatnot, and so we can do it.
Okay. Second one. I tend to write quite a bit. I write a lot of backstory, and there's the main thing that most people have when they write is they're afraid of contradicting prime fiction. And that's a no-go area. I really don't want to do it. So I was wondering if you guys have any ideas and anything that you would actually do to implement more information surrounding, like, ships, tonnage, ship crews,
Yields
of weapons, things like that.
Absolutely.
So you guys are on that then?
Yeah, I think that you'll see that just by the nature of what a Wikipedia is, what a wiki is, it's not only that you can easily contribute, it just the barrier to entry of actually contributing is so low that you think about it, or you're doing this like, okay, I'm writing this and I'll just throw it there as well. I mean, it's really going to expose a lot of stuff that we have internally still, but isn't showing up on the website because the guy that's writing it, instead of him just going in and just putting it in there and just publishing it and everybody can see it, he has to like go to the web development part, get like parts of the website set onto it and stuff like that. You know, if it's just submit.
I should also mention the storyline board too.
Yeah.
Tony Gonzalez is spearheading a process to get a lot of the storytellers inside of CCP in one room so that they can all reach consensus on certain topics. And there's been a real evolution of that, starting with first trying to figure out what questions had to be asked to see where people had different opinions, and then working to get everybody to agree on what the answers to those questions were. A lot of that material is going to show up in the RPG. A lot of it will show up on the Wikipedia, on the Evilipedia. But it's been a process, because inside of CCP there have been a lot of different opinions on things, but there really hasn't been any pressure to pick one. So now they're picking decisions, and that will help streamline a lot of the prime fiction issues.
And another thing, if you've ever been on other wikis, sometimes you'll see that a page is flagged for specific reasons, and we'll be able to flag a page as, you know, canon, as this is prime fiction, and, you know, this is the real stuff. So,
yeah, it's really one of the things that we feel are necessary, at least to begin with, but kind of is detrimental to the whole wiki concept, is that we have different blocks for certain pages. Some simply are not supposed to be changed because they might be part of the tutorial in-game, which where we actually call it up, but you can still submit to them, and they're simply just, we go through it and just accept
edited.
It. I mean, you can still submit it in, it just means that it's not going to be displayed right away.
Yeah, and you can't edit one of Abraxas Chronicles or something like that.
Yeah. I can.
Okay, maybe you can.
Okay, we have one final question here. Your character name and your question.
I'm a vampire from Vanishing Point. I was just wondering if there's any sort of plans to introduce maybe an alliance wallet or alliance taxes or something along those lines in order to help alliances, possibly alliance sort of assets, things like that, that they can do as an alliance and that sort of no one has prime access to. Maybe there's a group of directors or a group of executives of the alliance that have to choose to give certain things to certain people and so on and so forth to sort of keep
I think it's an awesome idea. We should just do it.
Yeah. And it's
oh,
been
geez,
on the
that's how it starts.
This is how a lot of things starts. The minute those words happen, it's usually
I usually put like four letters into some emails. It's like DOIT. do it. Alliance Tools has been on the roadmap for quite a while. The thing is that we haven't put enough effort into productivity tools, but you saw, for example, in Torres' presentation is that we are looking much more into productivity, one of them being the Corp UI, for example, and also, of course, like tools for alliances, which corporations already have. I mean, we have this functionality. Of course, what comes with this is more risk of getting ripped off on a fucking world scale. But, I mean, if it's your decision to use the tools, not ours.
And we here in Iceland know how that feels.
Yes.
Big time.
And I just wanted to let everyone know that Clear Skies 2 is on the way.
Really?
What?
Oh, fucking awesome.
All right. I want to thank you all. Eyal, Ryan, Gabe, Hilmar, Nathan, Torvi, Noah, and Arnar. Big round of applause, please. And of course, James. Thank you. So right now, the Agent mission, level 5 agent mission, has started in the main lobby, so you can go check that out. And the party will start at 7:30. The doors will open. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Get drunk.